Our scripture readings this year are from the A cycle. We have three cycles of readings for Sunday, A, B, and C. Last year we had C, this year we have A, next year it'll be B. But what that means is that we're going to be hearing a lot from the Gospel of Matthew during the ordinary Sundays in this year. This means that your homework assignment is to read and pray over chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew's Gospel, which are the chapters that we're going to read during the next 4 weeks before we arrive at Lent. The Sermon on the Mount is the first of 5 major discourses in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chooses the number 5 in imitation of the 5 books of the Pentateuch. Matthew is portraying Jesus in his Gospel as the new Moses. He presents Jesus, for example, teaching on a mountain. Not because this places Jesus up high where everybody can see him and hear him, but because this was where Moses received the covenant, on a mountain, on Mount Sinai. What Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount is presenting the new covenant to the people, to us. This is why the Sermon on the Mount has been so important to Christians through the centuries. It is Jesus teaching us about the new covenant. In the covenant that God made with the people of Israel through Moses, God agreed to be their God, and they agreed to be his people. A covenant is like a treaty, a contract. God promises to be their God, to take care of them, to be faithful to them, and the people promise to be his people and to act like his people. The Jews used the word covenant to symbolize God's relationship, God's commitment to them, and their commitment to God. Because if they were going to be God's people, they had to act like God's people. The Ten Commandments and the other laws in the Hebrew Scriptures showed Israel how to act like God's people, how to be different from their neighbors, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Egyptians. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is the presentation of the new covenant to the people of God. In the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus, the new Moses, is telling us that God wants to be our God. But he's also asking us, do you want to be God's people? And if we want to be his people, then this is the way we should act. This is the way we should live our lives. The covenant presented through Jesus does not invalidate the first covenant of God with the people of Israel. God's covenant with the Jewish people is eternal because God doesn't break his promises. His promise is eternal. The new covenant through Jesus builds on the first covenant and expands it to all people. The first covenant begins with the Ten Commandments. The new covenant begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew adds the words in spirit because he wants to make clear that poverty is not a blessing. It is something to be struggled against. The Gospels cannot be used as an excuse for leaving people in poverty so that they can be blessed. The poor, the lowly, are not happier, holier, or better than anyone else. What they are in both the Old and New Testament is the object of God's special care and concern. And if we are to be God's people, then the poor must be of special concern to us. A key passage in Matthew's Gospel is the parable of the Last Judgment. The Last Judgment scene in chapter 25, where the just ask God, "When did we feed you? When did we give you drink? When did we welcome you? When did we visit you in prison?" And God responds, "Whenever you did it to the least, you did it to me." The Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mountain tell us how God's people are to live their lives. They tell us how to be Christians. To be a Christian is to hunger and thirst for justice. To be a Christian is to be merciful. To be a Christian is to be single-hearted in fidelity to God. To be a Christian is to be a peacemaker. To be a Christian is to welcome the stranger and the refugee. To be a Christian is to be insulted and persecuted because you try to live this covenant. Jesus, you know, just didn't teach us this covenant. He lived it by showing mercy to sinners, by healing the sick, by reaching out to the lowly and the despised, by thirsting for justice. Because Jesus lived this covenant, he was insulted, crucified, and killed. Jesus not only teaches us, he practices what he preaches. And thus he becomes a model for all Christians. As we continue our Eucharist, we renew our covenant with God in this Eucharistic meal, just as the Jews each year renew their covenant with God in the Passover meal. In the Eucharist, we commit ourselves to the covenant and are strengthened by the bread of life so that we can live it out in our lives. By participating in this meal, we as a community are saying amen to this covenant. We are agreeing to this covenant. We're signing our names to this covenant. And in this meal, we are transformed into the body of Christ, so that we can continue the mission of Jesus in transforming the world through bringing justice to the poor, by being peacemakers in the face of violence, by welcoming strangers and immigrants, and by giving comfort to all who mourn.